Is this PSG team a top 10 team of all time?
Is there anyone that gets into that 11 from Chelsea?
I'm watching Real Madrid and it looks like they're playing with 10 men.
I'm seeing players who don't know what it's like to wear the Real Madrid kit. Mbappe is the first name on that list.
So you're worried that the Gyökeres deal is taking too long?
Yeah.
What about you though? How are you feeling about your transfer business?
Horrendous.
We here!
Yes, sir! Ooh,
I like that one. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the 6 Yard Box Podcast. Today, we are giving our Club World Cup semi-final review. We are previewing the Club World Cup final. We are delivering the latest in football news. And to join me for the ride, I am here going across the couch with Blake. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. Oh, you want a more? I'm doing well. Despite the fact of Arsenal's transfer.
Yeah, like mixed feelings right now.
They're moving different. They're moving weird. They're moving like they always do. I thought we were a real club. We're not.
I think you're a real club. I don't think you're a fake club.
Well, feeling a little fake right now, boys, but anyway.
No, bro. Tomorrow the Here We Go will come and you'll be on top of the world. Last episode, before Madueke got Here We Go, you were over the moon, even though you still thought at that time that Madueke would happen. You know what I mean?
I guess. It's just hard, guys.
You know who is a real club?
European champion Antoine.
Thank you.
Hey! Oh, there you go. Yeah.
How's it going?
Oh, how are
how are we?
You tell us. How's it going?
What is there not to love right now?
Finally, what is there not to love about PSG's tie against Real Madrid and the fact that they're going to the Club World Cup final and the fact that they could soon not just be European champions, world champions.
And is the decision made? Are you adding that title on top?
No.
Of no? Okay.
No, it's not okay. Happening. You'll have the ugly badge for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that's enough.
It's not an ugly badge.
I think it's an ugly badge.
If PSG win this Club World Cup, they're gonna be called world champions, right? If Chelsea do, they will as well. But we won't really feel that with Chelsea, right? Like, it's gonna feel off.
No.
Calling Chelsea world champions.
I think even if they beat you, we're not going to call Chelsea the best team in the world. You're still, no matter what happens on Sunday, you are the best team in the world. We all know that.
Yeah. You know the Chelsea fans are going to claim that they're the best team
obviously.
In the world and world champions.
Yeah.
It's going to be annoying.
It's like the fucking Tottenham fans calling themselves European champions after winning the Europa League. Like, come on, guys. Let's have some context here.
I think a bit of a different situation, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean. Anyways, I think that's a great segue. Mm. Let's just get straight into the biggest headline of the week, which was PSG's absolute demolishing of Xabi Alonso's Real Madrid. 4-0, two defensive errors, some beautiful football by you guys, another generational performance by Achraf Hakimi, and I know that Antoine is on top of the world. Talk me through it.
Oh, my God. I mean, this is like the seventh team, big team this season that we made look like clowns. Let's be honest.
Are we included in that?
You are included in that. Absolutely. I mean, we talk about PSG being so good, but the fact that the thing that makes them so good is that they make other teams look so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was talking about this a couple of weeks ago, but Real Madrid looked awful. Atletico Madrid looked awful. Inter Milan looked awful. Liverpool didn't look great. A lot of people said it was close. It was on the scoreline, but if we remember the two legs, it wasn't very close in terms of football.
Yep.
Arsenal what's the term? It's not clowns. Because it's a little, they played a little better.
Okay.
I think Arsenal put up the biggest fight against PSG. Maybe Aston Villa, actually, in the second leg.
Yeah.
Fair. That's fair.
But it's just that domination.
You've looked clearly, like, everybody's looked second best against you guys.
Yeah.
You have not looked challenged outside of a couple of spells.
I don't think there's been a bigger gap in recent memory of the first team in the world, the best team in the world, and the second best team in the world. Who's the second best team in the world now? Probably Barcelona.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe Liverpool.
Barcelona, then third Liverpool, I'd say.
Yeah.
I mean, the gap is massive.
Yeah.
The gap is pretty big.
It's also in the Club World Cup specifically, neither of those two teams are here. I wish they were.
Yeah.
I wish they were.
Yeah.
I wish that, like, I really hope that over the next couple of editions of the Club World Cup, assuming it's going to happen, that it doesn't just become an extended tournament that the latest Champions League winner just goes on and wins. You know what I mean? Like, I would like there to be a better qualification format where you can actually say, in 2025, in 2029, etc., that the actual best European teams are there, that have specifically earned that title over the past, like, year or two.
100%.
I'm sure they could probably just coefficient it, like some sort of coefficient per team.
Yeah.
They could add that on. That could work. But
yeah. It's difficult from a logistics standpoint to book a team, like, on just a couple of weeks' notice, really, if you're setting, like, deadline for the coefficient to figure out the teams for the Club World Cup, right? Sure. So I know that, like, these teams are, like, figuring out, like, their preseason and sometimes postseason, like, friendlies. And sometimes that the, like, the Club World Cup can interfere with that. I don't know. But anyways. But going back to PSG, yeah, you guys,
yeah,
absolutely cooked.
Well, I was saying, it seems like now every single player in that squad is just deemed as world class. And world class usually comes with experience and a lot of different trophies and just a lot of time being in that position, being regarded in their positions as the best players in the world. But you look through that PSG squad, even people on the bench, like goalkeeper up through the midfield into the attack, who isn't world class on that team now?
Yeah, every player is world class.
It's ridiculous. Who wouldn't want Fabian in their midfield? Who wouldn't want Nuno Mendes? Who wouldn't want Pacho? Who wouldn't want any of these players?
It's crazy. I look at the PSG midfield specifically. Every week I'm telling myself, like, Vitinha does something that tells me, oh yeah, he's the best player in that midfield. Mm-hmm. But then the next game you'll have João Neves pulling out some crazy defensive masterclass. And now I'm thinking, João Neves might be the best player in that midfield. And then the next week after that, you have Fabian Ruiz putting in a performance like he did against Real Madrid. Yeah. And now I'm thinking, is Fabian Ruiz the best player in that midfield? I mean, the fact that we have three world-class midfielders and beyond that 11 world-class players, but the midfield specifically, man, it's incredible. And I didn't think it would come this quick. I've said this before. I didn't think the
not even close, dude.
The rebuild would happen this quick.
Not even close.
But, I mean,
it's like beyond your wildest dreams at this point.
It is. It literally is. And we've reached that point now where teams are kind of hating on us for being so good. And I never felt that before.
I've
seen everyone hate on Madrid during their glory days because they were so good. Yeah. And they just wanted to see them fail. Now City I'm kind recently. Of feeling that with my team.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, it feels good. It feels good to be on top of the world.
What kind of hate are you feeling? I haven't seen much.
No, it's just on TikTok. Like, you want, like, you see people wanting Chelsea to win, wanting PSG to lose, wanting PSG to crash out. Everyone's saying Chelsea's gonna, or a lot of people are saying Chelsea's gonna upset PSG. I'm just thinking, like, do they really think that? Or they're just saying that because they want PSG?
No, I get it. It's like, in any sport, the team that gets too good always gets the hate from the average fan.
Of course.
So it is the best form of a compliment you could
receive
from the footballing community.
At the same time, I don't know how anybody can watch this PSG team and not be enamored by the quality and the fun of the football.
Mm-hmm. That's the one thing. A lot of people in previous years were hating on PSG for oil money, all this. Mm-hmm. They still have the oil money. I don't see anyone hating anymore because the product, the football, is just too good to hate on.
And more than that, you kind of started doing it in a more ethical way. Obviously, the Mbappe thing, whatever, but like, you know, Vitinha and João Neves weren't these, like, big money, billion-pound signings. No. They were expensive, but you had to scout them and get them from their clubs and build them up and put them in the right system.
They weren't proven players.
Yeah,
Hakimi, proven players.
They weren't, right? Hakimi and Nuno Mendes. Hakimi did a little different, but Nuno Mendes, same thing.
Exactly.
Doué, exactly. Even Dembele.
Yeah. Barcola,
yeah.
Like, almost, like, every single one of these players did not come to PSG as a finished product.
Exactly. Yeah.
You've bought so many before.
Like, that's kind of, I think, helps that whole debate for sure. But at the end of the day, you're right. You cannot deny the football that we're watching. It is, it's honestly some of the best I've seen since the turn of the 2020s. Like, you look at this team.
I'm seeing comparisons of this team and 2020 Bayern.
How would they match up?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Ooh, I would love to rank
every
powerhouse, every champion.
Is this PSG team a top 10 team of all time?
They're certainly playing like one.
You know what? Let's bookmark that conversation for Monday, I feel like.
I'm done for that. I won't be here on Monday. But you guys can do it.
We can cook.
You guys can cook with Miles.
For sure.
100%. I'll probably still be able to.
When's the final again? Sunday?
Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got TFC tomorrow.
Yes.
And then we got the final on Sunday. Mm. And then you're here Monday morning, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
I was looking through the record books a little bit, specifically regarding the Ballon d'Or. The record for the most players nominated for the Ballon d'Or in one team is eight with Real Madrid in 2018. Mm. How many players in this PSG team will get nominated for the Ballon d'Or, and will they beat that record?
Dembele,
yeah.
Vitinha,
yeah.
Hakimi,
yeah.
Donnarumma,
yeah.
Fabian Ruiz.
Yeah, probably.
João Neves, probably.
I don't know if he'll get all three.
Yeah, I think.
Did I mention Nuno Mendes?
You didn't. He'll get nominated.
He'll
be in there. Would Vara be in there?
Yeah, I think so.
No, I don't think so.
He'll definitely be in there.
Especially as a January signing?
No, I don't know. Look at the impact that he's had in this PSG team. Scored in the Champions League final as well. Scored against Aston Villa to rekindle that. To be fair, a lot of people scored in the Champions League
final.
Yes, fair enough. also scored against Aston Villa to rekindle that spark in the game when we were tied.
Would Doué be in there?
Doué's in there.
Okay, would Marquinhos be in there?
Marquinhos could be in there.
Oh, Pacho would be in
Pacho
there.
Pacho was definitely in there.
Pacho would be in there. We're already on nine.
How many are we on?
Yeah, see, I don't know. Now I think I could be proven wrong, but I think they're going to cap it at some sort.
You think so?
Probably.
I don't think so. If they cap it at some, like, that's unfair. There's 30 nominations.
I mean, yeah.
I think this might be kind of crazy. The entire 11 might get nominated. No, I mean, we have to talk about it at some point. If we're honest, I think Bayern 2020 would have beaten this record had the Ballon d'Or ceremony happened.
Yeah.
Yes.
They probably would have had
Bayern individually had a crazy team that year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think PSG breaks this record. Every player, Donnarumma, yes. The back four, Hakimi, Pacho, Marquinhos, Nuno Mendes, yes. Maybe no for Marquinhos. It might be 10.
Okay.
Maybe. But he's a captain. You
know? The three midfield, Fabian Ruiz, Vitinha, João Neves, they've shown me nothing for them not to be nominated for this award.
Yes.
And then
at least two, even Barcola.
It might be 12.
Okay, relax.
What?
Not for Barcola.
It might be 12. Not for Barcola? After the beginning of the season he had?
I don't know, now you're really getting out of here. No, because you have to ask the question.
I'm pushing it. I'm not pushing it.
We can create. You know what? Now that the season is over and the window for judging is almost over, we could make our top 30.
Yeah.
On Monday.
It's going to be hard.
It is going to be hard.
That's going to be really hard.
But it's going to be very possible. It's going to be very possible.
We could do it.
We can do that.
We're going to have two PSG players in.
I would love to save that segment for when Antoine.
No, Antoine needs to be here for that.
I saw a video of PSG and Chelsea combined 11, and the guy at the beginning goes, "This might be one of the hardest decisions I've ever made," and then he just proceeds to put the entire PSG 11.
is there anyone that gets into that 11 from Chelsea?
Caicedo?
Maybe Paul Kammer?
No, I don't think so. It's also different. They also play different systems, and we don't really have an attacking midfield.
I fucking hate that narrative in a combined 11. We're not talking about system in a combined 11. Just the players, man.
Ooh. But
Enzo over Fabian, maybe?
Maybe.
It may, yeah.
They probably get one midfielder in there, but other than that, it's all you.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
There's levels to this.
Genuinely, yeah. I'm trying to spot one. I don't. Yeah. I don't. This is a team we're going to look back on and like very fondly.
Yeah.
Very fondly.
I mean, how do you not?
20, 25 years, we will be talking about this PSG team. Mm. I'm so certain of it.
When episode 1200 of the Six Share Box podcast, you guys remember that PSG team back in the day? Imagine. It was so good.
If we fall off, I'll be talking about how I used to watch this PSG team and be enamored. And now,
100%.
Yeah.
Well, you got oil money, so I feel like the likelihood of that.
Yeah, but even like a slight drop off to like a round of 16 exit with new players that play bad.
Back to the norm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The norm is now Champions League trophies in our cabinet.
You guys haven't really signed anyone.
We have Ilya Zabarnyi on the wait list.
Okay.
We have talks with him.
Okay.
But no, it'll be after the Club World Cup.
Fair.
Yeah. I really
hope we can get Richard Rios, man.
Really?
I think he'd be such a great addition. And maybe not even as a starter right away, but he can definitely integrate himself into that squad.
Nah, he should go United.
You know the asking price is only like 30 million.
I know.
It's not expensive.
He's been in the shop window for like 2 years now.
I mean,
I've known about his name for a while.
Any big club should probably be positioning themselves on him.
They should, genuinely. I mean,
United can't even sign Calvert-Lewin on a free, so.
Well, we don't want to sign Calvert-Lewin on a free. The fuck?
No, I think you do.
No, we don't.
I've seen some reports.
Really?
I think
so. Which reports?
I don't know, but I've seen it. Look it up, I swear.
I've seen no reports.
Let me cook while you guys keep going.
All right.
I think we need to talk about this Real Madrid team.
Yeah.
They suck.
What a disaster for Real Madrid. I mean, what's Mbappe thinking right now? What's going through Kylian Mbappe's mind 1 year after leaving this PSG squad to, in his mind, unlock possibilities of numerous Champions League titles, Club World Cup titles, and look what's happening.
What do you think he's thinking, guys? What do you think I'm going to say?
What?
What do you think he's thinking?
Oh, jeez. He's definitely...
Should have came to Arsenal, innit? Should have came home. Anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, like, look at... You might even look at this from an Arsenal perspective and think of Mbappe, like look at Mbappe's performance in this game and look at some of Mbappe's performance over notable games of the past and go, you know what? Maybe with our system and how the modern game is, maybe it's good we didn't sign Mbappe. Because sometimes I'm watching Real Madrid and it looks like they're playing with 10 men. Sometimes 9 men.
Yeah.
But the 9 men is influenced by Mbappe. Vinny yes. doesn't press because he sees Mbappe not pressing. Yes. What has Mbappe done in terms of credibility for this Real Madrid team that puts him ahead of Vinny in terms of hierarchy, where he, like you know what, like in terms of salary, first of all, I think Mbappe earns more. In terms of stature, Mbappe's image is probably bigger. Mm-hmm. But what has he done in terms of credibility for him to achieve that for Real Madrid? You've seen what Vinny's brought to the club for the last, like he brought them 2 Champions League,
yep.
I think numerous La Ligas, or 2 La Ligas, something like that. Mm-hmm. But now he sees Mbappe stepping onto the pitch and not pressing, not putting in the work off the ball. If I'm Vinicius, I'm doing the exact same thing that he is. And is if Mbappe is not pressing, I'm not pressing either. Because look what I did for this club. Yeah. Look what I've done. Look what I've done when I first came into this club. I was putting in that extra work off the ball, trying to prove myself. Because Vinny wasn't a starter right away.
Exactly.
You should have seen that Real Madrid team when Vinny came into the club. There were generals in that team. There was Sergio Ramos in that team. There were Luka Modric in that team. Toni Kroos in that team. Benzema in that team. Varane was in that team, I think. Yep. Those are generals. These are guys that you see in your squad and you want to impress.
Yeah.
You walk in there and you need to prove to them that you belong in there. Mm-hmm. Vinny did that. Mbappe walks into this Real Madrid team and doesn't need to do that. If he doesn't do that, then that kind of erases all the work Vinny has done. The value of wearing the Real Madrid shirt, I feel, has gone down. Mm. Or at least it seems like it has to these players. I'm seeing players who don't know what it's like to wear the Real Madrid kit. Mbappe is the first name on that list. And you can tell me he scored 40 goals this season. Absolutely. But if you take Mbappe out of the squad this season, sure, there's 40 less goals from him. But there's 40 more goals from everybody else. Bellingham
and
scores 15.
And they're conceding
15.
Less, too, I bet.
They're conceding less probably as well. Bellingham scores 15+. Vinny scores a lot. Rodrigo scores. Valverde would get on the score sheet. Luis Enrique said this when Mbappe left. I would rather have 10 players score 15 goals than one player score 40. And look what PSG went on to achieve this season.
Yes.
And look what Real Madrid went on to not achieve this season.
Yes.
Exactly. It's night and day. Mbappe is a huge influence on Vinny and how he thinks of playing the game.
Yes.
I saw two players not do anything against PSG. They didn't press, they didn't do anything, and that's because of Mbappe.
Look at PSG's third goal. How does it start? The build-up in the end phase is brilliant, but they started with Donnarumma. Donnarumma goes to the center back, it goes out to Hakimi, and the pressing from Vinicius, Mbappe, and even a little bit of Gonzalo Garcia, non-existent. And because of that, you're able to play one line-breaking pass and another and another. And within 5 seconds, it's gone from the right back in the defensive third to the right back in the attacking third because nobody was challenged on the ball. And that starts from the front by a pathetic attempt to press by those two stars.
And it's been a problem for the bigger part of his career now.
Yes.
When he first started breaking onto the scene, everything was working for Mbappe at Monaco, for the French national team, even at the beginning for PSG, throughout his entire PSG career. It was working well. Everything he was touching was turning into gold.
Yeah.
And now, I would hate to be in Mbappe's shoes. He is the culprit in almost every situation that he's in now.
Yes.
For PSG in the end of his term, or in the end of his contract for PSG, for the French national team, he needs to be put up front because he doesn't press. And that means that Thuram and Kolomwani are on the wings, which is not their natural positions at all. We saw it against Spain. Yep. It was Thuram on the right wing, Kolomwani on the left wing, and Mbappe up front. It led to just chaos in attack because Mbappe doesn't press. So we have to reposition these guys because you have to start Mbappe, right? You can't not start Mbappe. And then now for Real Madrid, we're saying the exact same thing. There's a common denominator in all of these situations, and it's Mbappe.
Yes.
Now, it doesn't take away his quality when he has the ball at his feet and the magic that he can bring.
But it's 2025.
Exactly. The modern day of football requires you to be proactive at every moment of the game, and especially off the ball.
Yes. Yeah. And last season, it's not like this is rocket science and he's never been told that he needs to press. Luis Enrique, famously in that video, told him time and time and time again, like Ralph Rangnick said, you cannot have a little bit of pressing. Like, you cannot just be a little bit pregnant. It's either you press as a team or nobody presses at all. Yeah. And Mbappe was told that. And then this season, he's seen how that philosophy has worked so well for PSG. And now he has another coach in Xabi Alonso coming in, more than likely telling him the exact same thing. This guy has no reason to not want to press. And time and time again, he refuses to, and all his teams are getting punished for it.
It happened in front of his eyes.
Yes.
With his ex-team too, which is, it makes it even worse.
I know.
So then what's the solution? We really think about it. Like, what's the solution?
Xabi Alonso needs to make decisions. That is the solution. I didn't see Xabi Alonso make decisions against PSG.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm sorry, I didn't.
Yep.
Xabi Alonso needs to make decisions regarding Vini and Mbappe.
Yep.
We have seen all season that it does not work and that they don't press. Whether it's Mbappe's fault, whether it's Vini's fault, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Starting Vinicius and Mbappe on the same pitch against PSG, where you know you're going to be outworked, that is suicide. Yes. It is suicide. You were setting yourself up for failure, and we saw it. It was 11-9.
Yes, it truly was.
Yeah.
If it is necessary, Xabi Alonso needs to bench either Mbappe or Vinicius to get it in their heads that they are not in the squad if they don't want to put the work in off the ball.
And he should have the power to do that.
He should, and I think he will, and ultimately.
Evidence is there. That.
Absolutely. The product of... You can see what he's done with Leverkusen. It's not like he's an unproven manager who has an idea of how to play football, but it never worked.
And I think seeing what PSG is doing gives him only more strength to that point.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
But you have Gonzalo Garcia, who's been tearing it up this entire tournament, and you decide to play him at right wing in this game just to fit Mbappe and Vinicius in.
Yes.
And then I'm not seeing a Xabi Alonso that's making strong decisions.
Yeah, he definitely folded. This laid down and let it happen.
100%.
And again, putting Gonzalo Garcia not in his natural position is the exact same problem that they've had with Rodrigo for the last 3 years, especially with more so.
Yes. I think it was, you or was it Antoine that mentioned that Rodrigo is Real Madrid's best presser, at least from their forward line.
Yeah.
So I'm not even saying that he should have to have Rodrigo in, because I don't know if positionally it fits, but you need players like Rodrigo to make the system work.
It's ridiculous. Like, I saw a Twitter post or something. I'm just going off the head, but Rodrigo was like top 10 in pressing in the World Cup, covered by like meters gained or meters pressed in the Club World Cup. He played like what?
30 minutes.
30 minutes.
Not even.
And he's like top 10. And obviously Vinny and Mbappe are nowhere near then. And it's just crazy. Like, you'd really think from a Mbappe standpoint, he'd want to win so bad. He hasn't had a Champions League before. His glory days in the World Cup are few and far between. Six years ago? 7 years ago now. Never won anything at PSG besides the league, and you knew they were going to win that either way. You would think that he would have this sort of drive and this winner's mentality inside of him. And, like, maybe he doesn't have that. Maybe when he came up, he was relying on his talent, he was relying on his hype, and that's what got him through, and that's what made him be such a star. But now that he's established, and now that he's in the big money move that he wanted to get, I don't know, maybe he just doesn't have it. And we know how big mentality is, especially in football. You need to want it to be the very best. Maybe he just doesn't have it.
And I'm glad that you guys all agree on this point. And we all agree on that. It might be Mbappe the problem, because there are so many people out there that will still want to be blinded by that fact.
Yeah.
There's still people, I still see people blaming Gonzalo Garcia for that game. When he's out of position, it's not the football that he is used to. He's not playing at his preferred position. But why did he play there? It's because Mbappe needed to fit in there.
Yeah,
I wouldn't even mind Vinny and Mbappe playing together as a front two.
A two.
I wouldn't mind that. Just for 5-10 games, see how it works. I don't think Real Madrid can win right now with a front three. I don't think they can.
I agree. Totally agree.
And then just quickly, it's about Real Madrid, their defense in this game.
Yeah, I mean, it goes much deeper.
Fucking woeful.
Oh, yeah, we have without to talk Huijsen,
like, we were saying, you were right. But, yes. Oh, my God, Rudiger might have had the worst game I've ever seen. Even Asensio.
I mean, Asensio's bad. If the problems only stopped at the attack, that would be good for Real Madrid. Yeah. But it doesn't. It goes even deeper than that.
Yeah, they're... Yes. I don't even know what happened. They actually looked like a schoolboy team.
It was Real Madrid 2024. It was Real Madrid 2024.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah. I mean, Real Madrid 2025. 24, they won the Champions League.
Yes, I know, but the... You can tell there's no references when playing.
Yeah.
The automatisms, that's the word, right? Like the
automatism or whatever it is.
There's no automatisms.
Or autonomy. I don't know. Autonomy?
Like
autonomy.
The things that you do. No,
probably.
No.
Like
the things that you do effortlessly, that you know that this player is going to be there. Like the just the basics.
Whatever. We'll go
there's
with
almost
it.
No basics in that team.
I feel you, yeah. It's like everything that they do looks challenging.
Exactly.
It looks like they're thinking too much. It looks like it's not, like you said,
and it takes, first nature. It takes a while for that to be instilled in a team, and Xabi Alonso's probably, he's definitely doing that, and he'll probably do a good job at that.
Yeah.
But it just this Real Madrid team just looked absolutely lost.
They lack so much of the qualities you need in modern-day football. If it was 2008, this team would be spectacular. But it's 2025. You need to have center backs who are comfortable playing out from the back. You need to have a system where the entire team is either pressing or not pressing. You need forwards that will join in that in the pressing. And they don't have those two very important qualities.
100%.
And every single time they have come up against a side that has those qualities in abundance, they have gotten embarrassed.
There's many examples this season.
No,
I mean, you can look at all these El Clasicos to begin with.
The El Clasicos, look at the Arsenal tie, game. Look at this PSG game.
Yeah.
There's so many examples.
Yes. And I think they are, I think if we take a step back, I think they're going in the right direction. Dean Huijsen, I think, is already being seen as an incredible signing.
Yeah.
His impact is very seen in this game and throughout the tournament. Right. And I think Xabi Alonso is the right man. If there's going to be anybody to get the right production out of the front three and build the right system. We've seen Real Madrid put up great performances in this tournament.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that.
Games 2-5 were good.
Yes.
But 1-6.
Game 6 was an absolute disaster. Yeah.
Fair.
It's not an unsavable situation for Real Madrid.
No, of course not. They have too much talent for it to be that.
So many red flags.
A lot of red flags. It all comes down to who wants to work.
Facts.
It almost seems like the value and the honor of wearing a Real Madrid shirt is slightly diminished.
Yeah.
Like nowadays, when I see Arsenal versus Real Madrid, I'm using Arsenal as an example. Before, you would think, man, Real Madrid, like, it's Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not scared of Real Madrid.
Yeah.
If I'm Arsenal. I'm not scared of Real Madrid if I'm Atletico Madrid. I'm not scared of Real Madrid if I'm Inter Milan.
Whoever, yeah.
It seems like they lost.
Lost their emotion, bro.
At least a little bit of it. And it's crazy because look at their fucking team.
I know.
Look at the players on that team.
Well, that's the thing. Like, they're never, like you said, they're not out of it. They could very easily win the league this season, and it wouldn't be a surprise.
They won the Champions League, what, 13 months ago?
I think it would be a surprise if they win the league this year.
It's not out of the realm of possibility.
It's not. But I would expect Barcelona to do.
Sure. Yeah. But all I'm saying is they have too much talent to be not considered.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. Like, it's if the mentality in the team is not there and it's not clicking, then how are they supposed to do anything positive?
Yes.
It was the same exact problem with the Galacticos, by the way.
That's, yeah.
I know.
They went on a 12-year, or I think maybe a little more than that.
Yeah.
Where they, a 12-year stretch where they didn't win the Champions League.
It's like 2002, 2003.
Yeah, 2002.
The Leverkusen.
Yeah, the Leverkusen final up until that decimal.
And we've talked about that, though. We've talked about the comparisons with getting Mbappe. We've said that has been a bit of a you know, a blast from the past that they don't want to happen again.
Yeah.
But there'll still be those people that are blinded by that and that will truly think that Mbappe, with the way that he's playing right now, deserves a spot in a Real Madrid team. I don't think he does.
God, it's literally the same situation PSG was in, like, 3 years
it
ago.
Literally is. It's just egos.
Yeah.
It is the exact same situation with a different team.
Yeah.
And this kind of, this is another point. This Real Madrid kind of, I don't want to say downfall, but the slump that they're in, it limits a lot of world-class players to achieve things in their career that they would be achieving with, like, with normal, well-playing teams. Yep. Let's take Bellingham, for example.
Yep.
Bellingham would have an absolute blast in this PSG midfield. Yeah. He would be so good.
Yes.
And I'm not saying he's a bad player for Real Madrid, but I think from what I've seen against PSG, he is absolutely limited.
Mm-hmm.
These are players. There's so many players. I mean, even Vinny, Rodrigo, Mbappe, Bellingham, Valverde. These are players that should be contending for the Ballon d'Or year in, year out.
Yeah.
And they might just get limited because of this.
Yeah.
Where they would be playing better football with another team, with an actual structured team, where everybody works for each other.
It's a fair point.
Yeah.
It seems like they just don't know who they are. I mean, on social media, these guys are brothers. They're hermanos. But on the pitch, they don't know who they are. They don't know where they are at all times.
It's very easy sometimes to turn off, like, when you reach, like, mentally as a footballer, you reach Real Madrid, you've reached the summit of club football, right? You get your own private room at the training ground, you get your own personal BMW, you get your own, you know, chef and trainers and the best facilities one could ever ask for as a footballer. And obviously, some are going to strive for trophies and the intangibles and legacy. Others got into football because they need to make a living, and they are making the best living they ever would at Real Madrid. Some sink, some swim.
Get the sinkers
out.
And
I see a lot of sinkers here.
Yeah, then we'll get them out.
Yes.
If it means getting rid of players, the players that don't want to be there, if I'm a Real Madrid fan, I'm saying goodbye.
Yep.
Goodbye. Yeah. Thank you for everything. Goodbye.
Easier said than done, though.
It is easier said than done. It's much easier said than done. But at some point, you just have to...
Absolutely.
Yes.
You just have to clean up the mess.
Yeah. And again, I want to stress that Xabi Alonso can have a spectacular offseason. They can bring in pieces. And by October, they look like a completely different side. Sure. I don't want that point to just be remiss.
Yeah, 100%.
But, like... If you're Florentino Perez, the alarm bells are sounding.
They are, 100%.
Yeah.
There's also Trent that was missing out of this game. Not that it would have.
Suspended,
I mean, it would probably
right?
No, injured.
Oh really?
It probably would have made a difference because of the creativity that he can bring to the game.
Yeah,
but something to bring up.
But yeah,
Valverde out of position.
That's true.
Valverde out of position, but they still had like. I mean, I guess they could have played like Tchouaméni farther back, anyways. But like, yeah.
It's all he hasn't done that before. It's not.
Yes, exactly.
And Raul Asensio, man. Oh, my God.
Yeah, the defense was terrible.
Oh, my God. I think this Club World Cup might be the worst thing to ever happen in his career. Like, genuinely.
I mean, stock think back just like,
seriously.
Think back just 4 months ago, and we thought him as a very, like, well-regarded young center back coming through. And we were like, wow, he's going to be a mainstay in this team for a good little bit. And now it's like, off to Osasuna, you go.
Yeah. No, sure. Maybe not. But... there was that penalty conceded against Arsenal, I remember.
Yes.
It was him. And ever since, from that moment on, he just...
Sure, it was a bit harsh, but fair.
What?
It was a bit harsh.
It was harsh. But, I mean, from
still,
that moment...
Still, he did it.
From that moment
on...
He clearly has a mean streak, too. Gave away a penalty in the first in the first game.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Then had the red card in the second game after 3 minutes. Came back, subpar performances, off the bench. Starts this one, like, his chance to, like, get back in the game. And 6 minutes in... Four minutes in, something like that.
I think.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Just a clown show of a mistake to give away the ball.
Yeah. And didn't have a, he just looked lost out there too. It's not just that mistake, he looked lost.
Yes.
Yeah.
God, your goals came straight from the press too.
Yeah.
Like, if Mbappe doesn't clean up his act, bro, I don't know what this guy is thinking. And he's just a lost cause this season. Like, this is last chance saloon.
He's turning 27 soon. 28 maybe.
Last chance what?
Last chance saloon.
Last chance to what?
Saloon.
Saloon. I have no idea what he's saying. I know what a saloon is, but I've never heard that saying before.
I have.
What's a saloon?
Okay.
Okay.
So, like, I think the thing, last thing, and then we can go, but the thing for Mbappe is we just don't want him to be Neymar.
I think it's much deeper than that. Neymar...
No, but from the basis of what Neymar was, the prince that never became king, we don't want that for Mbappe.
Yes.
And what you guys... The essence of what you guys are talking about... is that same sort of thing happening to him. And at the end of the day, we just don't want that. We want him to showcase and be the best player in the world for the next 10 years.
I mean, I want the best for Mbappe. That's for
sure. I do too.
I think Neymar is definitely a more talented player, and that's why we say it was the prince that never became king, because he truly had that chance to put up levels that were on par with Messi and Ronaldo, and at some point he kind of was on par with Messi. But with Mbappe, for Neymar, it was more the injuries that killed him, right? And the laziness.
Yes. Yeah, but
The off-the-pitch stuff. Mbappe, sure. it's on the fucking pitch.
But you understand my point.
Yeah, 100%.
It's the laziness. That's what it is.
It is laziness.
Yeah, it is laziness. If you were to go back and tell 2018 Antoine that Mbappe would have zero Ballon d'Ors in the next 7 years.
I would not believe you for a second.
Nobody would. Nobody would. It was a matter of how many, not a matter of if.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Like it was like the next Messi, the next Ronaldo type of titles that were being attached to this kid. Rightfully so at the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And now the guy that he was being compared to is going to have a Ballon d'Or before him. And the guy that fell off was going to have a Ballon d'Or before him.
Yeah, bro. That's why I say, like, last chance this season for Kylian Mbappé.
I don't think so, but
it almost feels like it.
From a legacy kind of take your opportunity standpoint, it is, dude.
Not really, because what if he wins the Ballon d'Or the next season? Then it's not.
But he's
20. What is he? 25, 26?
No, he's 27.
This is what I'm saying. Like, new coach. Great players around you. You know what you need to do. This is what I'm saying. Kylian Mbappe knows what he needs to do. Seeing PSG and Luis Enrique thrive with the system that was preached to him. He knows what he has to do. And if he doesn't show improvement, at least in that game, and doesn't show up as a team player next season, then I am thinking of Kylian Mbappe much differently than I was a year or two ago. Fair. That's just the facts. And everybody will share that opinion.
If he continues like this, he won't be remembered as a Real Madrid player. Plain and simple.
Fair.
Yes.
Fair.
He's actively hurting his team by these on-field behaviors.
Fair.
So, anyways, we are at 40 minutes of just talking that's crazy. Shit on Real
Madrid. I mean, he just knew that was going to happen, didn't it?
Holy fuck. But I've enjoyed this convo. This has been fun. Anyways, is there anything else to say about this game, or shall we move on?
I think we should go.
Yeah.
We should go.
All right. Fluminense against Chelsea. First thing I have to say about this game. Game is so gone. Why is Michael Buffer on the field going, let's get ready to rumble? What are we doing, lads? It's not even the final. If it's the final at MetLife, I understand.
And the reaction to it.
Bro, and the commentator didn't even stop what he was saying to, like, let Buffer have his moment.
Really?
Like, Luke Wylman was talking over it the entire time. Good. I agree. That was the one time I'd be happy with the color commentator doing his meaningless yap.
Yeah.
All right. Over that moment. I'm like, bro, Michael Buffer was at, I think he was at the F1 in Vegas the other year, and it was a disaster as well. I think he gets paid like $100,000 for every time he says aura, that
dude.
Line.
Talk about motion, bro.
That's insane.
It's motion.
Yeah. But actually talking about the game, João Pedro, guys. Wow.
Wow.
I just want my flowers.
Put him as a midfielder.
Oh my God. Can we get off my dick about that? Because I said as a cam, but what I did say more specifically was that he would be the best signing that Chelsea made, or be the better signing compared to Liam Delap. And after one game, seems to be true. The player that João Pedro that's in there is much more refined than what Liam Delap is.
Probably.
There's a lot more to give there.
References in terms of...
There's just more to him.
Yeah.
Yes.
We've seen his striking ability. Obviously, he was really good for Brighton. Always has been, more specifically recently.
Even for Watford back in the day.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Good shout. But him coming in makes so much sense. A striker that isn't just a goal scorer, but can do so much more. And he showed his goal-scoring ability here, and he did a lot. He was just really good in this game, obviously. And I don't know. I'm scared a little bit because I think Chelsea have had a revolving door of players that they've signed for the past 3 years. And I think João Pedro is one that could stay and solidify himself as, like, a really scary number nine in this team for a while.
If you look at the big picture, Chelsea can be very good very fast.
Mm-hmm.
Just based off all the players that they have and the system that they're building. They are very good. I mean, I'm saying very good very fast. Like, they're not in the Club World Cup final.
Yeah.
And granted, it wasn't the craziest run playing the hardest teams in the tournament.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're still making a Club World Cup final. Like, you're regarded as one of the best teams in the world at that point.
100%. And this was definitely their best performance in the tournament so far against Fluminense.
Yeah.
You were expecting Fluminense to, like, not match Chelsea in terms of quality, but to make up for that in passion, tenacity, turning this game into a battle. That's what we were expecting. But the midfield two of Enzo Fernandez and Moises Caicedo just stifled that from minute one. I didn't, like, outside of the Cucurella goal line clearance from Hercules,
yeah,
there was nothing from Fluminense outside of, like, maybe a Trevor Chalaba, maybe handball, maybe not. I don't think it was.
Which is kind of what you'd expect, right? Like, Fluminense did a really good job to get here. They played they had a great tournament.
Yeah.
And there's nothing, a lot of the Brazilian teams did, but especially, obviously, Fluminense.
I mean, they played so well that I would have expected more in this game from them. Or at least to bring more of, like, a battle. Right. But that midfield, too, of Chelsea just dominated.
I mean, I guess that's what you get when you spend $250 million on your midfield.
Yeah.
I guess that's kind of what you'd expect, right?
But it also takes a manager who knows how to play that midfield.
Sure.
Like, who knows how to organize a team.
Sure. And Maresca's done pretty well.
I think Maresca has definitely gone under the radar. This last year.
Yes. I agree.
The work that he's done for this Chelsea team, let's not forget every manager before that since Tuchel.
I mean, Poch was kind of steadied the ship in his last little while there.
Yeah, I suppose.
But Maresca kind of brought them to the next
level.
Absolutely.
From the depths of hell that they were in,
yes,
to see where they are now is just... It's annoying, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, it's for you, the team is back into, like, a genuine title race and is a genuine threat to most competition.
Like, you expect Chelsea now to probably reach the quarterfinals of the Champions League next season. That's probably what you would expect. If you ask any Chelsea fan, that's probably what they would tell you.
They'd want to.
They want to, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they have the quality, too, as well.
Yeah.
And this is, like, a bigger conversation, but it kind of feels like the top four of the Premier League are kind of making a gap. They're like the way they're doing their business in the summer, the way that they've played throughout the last couple of years, they're kind of separating themselves from the rest.
I agree.
You know what I mean? Like, Newcastle haven't really done much besides get Alanga. They're still trying to find their footing. Nottingham Forest are selling a lot of players and they don't know how they're going to do. United and Tottenham obviously had a really terrible league season.
Miles off it. More United than Tottenham.
But it's like that top four and then now Chelsea with what they're doing and proving in the Club World Cup are really separating themselves. And I don't know. That's a different conversation for a different day.
Yeah.
But it just proves that Chelsea are a genuine club again, a really solid club again.
Yes. I'm, like, really impressed with this performance. It's going to be a tall effort, though, against PSG. Let's be real.
Yeah. And I'm looking at the names on the pitch alone, and I'm thinking, who's their center back that was suspended this game?
Colwell.
Yeah. Oh, Levi, yeah.
Colwell and Tosin.
Yeah.
Up against that PSG press.
Wait, isn't he back, though? I thought Colwell was back for the final.
He's back.
He is back, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Robert Sanchez, ball at his feet, pressed by Dembele.
Fuck, dude.
Yo, Robert Sanchez is... Is it Jorgensen that they got?
Yeah.
He's all right. Actually, they both kind of suck.
Yeah. That's the one position where you're like...
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
Well, I think they're signing someone that's...
Are they?
You would imagine.
Probably.
I think
you would imagine.
Well, they had a keeper in Strasbourg that isn't that blue coat. I think he was just on loan.
Oh, yeah.
Is that right?
Petrovic, I think.
Oh, yeah. He's not good.
Oh, yet. Petrovic?
Yeah, but he played well for Strasbourg, though. That's
okay.
Maybe a little, little hope there.
Yeah. Isn't he American?
I don't think so.
Petrovic?
No. Doesn't sound American.
Doesn't sound very American.
I know, obviously, but like.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess, like, what are our expectations or your expectations, Antoine, for the game? For
going into the game?
Yeah.
I mean, I would expect PSG to win.
Obviously.
Obviously. In terms of the scoreline, I mean, if we don't score at least three passes, I think it's a problem.
Are you nervous at all? Like, is there any sense of Chelsea might do this?
Maybe. I'm just looking at the individual quality. If Cole Palmer has one of those games, then he might break the lines in the midfield. And then I'm seeing João Pedro in that semifinal, and I'm scared that he can just pull out another masterclass like that.
It's against Nuno Mendes, though. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, fair.
The midfield battle, I am so excited for.
Also, on Fought Mob, it does say that João Pedro can play as an attacking midfielder.
All right, bro. We're not doing this.
My goodness.
The midfield battle?
The midfield battle is going to be amazing. I'm so excited for it.
I don't think it's going to be as good as people think.
You just think PSG are going to dominate?
I think just PSG are just going to dominate just from their press alone.
The system, yes. Like the system of yours, obviously.
Yeah.
Clear.
Fair.
The players in the midfield. Like
the players, I think they match up very well. In terms of the names of the players in the midfield, that's a list.
Yes. Yeah, it's a list.
That's a great
list. So what's the path to victory for Chelsea here? What do they need to do to win this game?
They need to match what PSG have in terms of energy, in terms of mentality, in terms of pressing.
Yeah.
And they need to play a perfect game.
If there's a game for them to watch as like the blueprint, is it the Flamengo game? Is it more like the Bayern game? Because I feel like...
You mean Botafogo?
Botafogo, that's right. Sorry. Because I feel like the Bayern was like actually the team that gave you the best run for your
money. It's definitely the Bayern game for sure. I mean, Bayern kind of... They took their game to PSG without being fearful.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, like...
I think that's what Chelsea needs
to do. In the first half of the Bayern game, they looked like the better team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I would say they have to control the counterattack as much as they can. Again, if they're trying to bring it to them, it's a bit counterintuitive. But the press is one thing. But you guys on the counter are so dangerous.
That's the thing with with PSG. The thing that makes them so good is that they're so versatile.
Yeah.
You have that structure. And then you also have the counterattack ability, the individual quality of some of the players. Like Farah and Doué can just pull out some skill moves and beat their man. It's just every aspect of the game is just so good and so well carved.
Yeah.
Like, if I was Chelsea, I would try not to get too excited at the beginning of the game and just like going at it, throwing their players forward. Because that's what I think kills most teams when they play you, is if you get a quick goal, if PSG goes up early, fuck.
Yeah.
But I think at the same time, you cannot sit back against PSG.
Absolutely not. Well, all I'm saying is, if you give up a quick counter goal early, the game's done before it even starts, in my opinion. So what I think they should do is feel the game out for the first 5-10 minutes, get their footing, and then go. Because then, like I said, you get down early against this PSG team, they're going to punish you. You get down early, then you have to expand. Then you really have to go for it. That's when they kill you, because they're so incisive, because you have so much attacking prowess. If they can control, not control the game, but see the game out for 5-10 minutes, get the feel of it, then really go for it. Take the sting out of the excitement of the final a little bit. That might be their best course of action.
To your point.
I like that. I like that a lot. Let's be real. If we're given odds for Chelsea to win this game,
what are the actual bookmakers' odds?
Let me check.
I'd be curious.
So to our residential expert.
I've not been betting as much, guys. I promise.
No,
not as much.
I'd be curious though, because what is it? And what do you think it is, Julian? In your head,
I would guess +400.
Okay. Yeah, +350,
+400 kind of range.
Yeah, that's fair.
Might be a
little
harsh.
This is also a final. Like, I think +400 would be a little bit too harsh on Chelsea. Yeah. This is a final. Anything can happen.
It is.
Anything can happen. This is just single elimination football. We've seen shocks before. It can happen. And we're like, Chelsea are not bums. Chelsea are not filled with some amateur players that stand no chance here. If Botafogo can do it, why can't Chelsea?
Because we were playing our B team against Botafogo, that's why.
Botafogo. That's true. Sorry, I'm on it. It's just I'm trying really hard here.
I'm also looking at the names coming off the bench for Chelsea, and I'm not too excited.
Nicholas Jackson.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Bruce James. Nicholas Jackson.
Nani Madueke. Here we go to Arsenal, and he appeared in this game for Chelsea.
Yeah. So what is he going to play in the final then or no?
No.
Really?
I wouldn't think so.
I think he will.
+410.
+410.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow, look at me go.
Pretty good. I think he will play.
You think?
What do you think, Blake?
Even though he's here, we go.
Is playing in the final?
No.
Yeah, that's what I'm
can't.
What I was thinking.
Really?
No, there's no way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then I'd really be mad.
Here we go. Like, isn't it like medical soon?
They Fab posted again, but.
Yeah. I mean, if we're going to get to it from an Arsenal perspective, but from a Chelsea perspective, you're selling one of your key wingers, I would say. Like, yes, he doesn't always start, but one of your key wingers for the past couple of years.
He played like...
Right before the final of the Club World Cup. Does that not show that they may not be taking this very seriously? I don't know. I just feel like it's weird timing.
It is weird timing, especially the fact that you have Nkunku on... They're playing Nkunku on the wing. He's not a winger.
No. Yeah. They need money, though. They need to recoup money.
They don't need money for Sunday.
No, you know fair. What I mean? You're right.
Like, the here we go can come out on Tuesday or Monday. You know? I don't know. I think it's a bit bit of an odd move. It makes me think that Nani was really pushing it. But hey, like if you have players that are linked to another club and seem willing to go, then why would you want to play them in the final, I guess?
Yeah.
So I see from their perspective as well. But yeah, this final excites me. This final.
Does it?
It does excite me.
I think everyone was saying the final was the Real Madrid PSG game.
Nah, I think Chelsea could maybe see a path to victory here. Maybe.
I could see
there's definitely a chance. I mean, we're talking about this PSG team like they're unbeatable.
Yes.
There's definitely a chance.
They're just very good.
Yeah.
I'll be honest though, lads. I'm ready for club season to be back.
I mean, it's only a month. It's only a month after
club season, but
I cannot wait for Arsenal to get absolutely butt fucked by United in the first game. Like, I just can't wait.
Vlad, what are you?
I just can't wait.
Great segue into the
some other transfer. Another transfer news. Like, this is what's getting me about you. Last week you come to the studio, Gyok is all but here we go. Nani is all but here we go. And the only development since then is they've finalized Nani. It's not like Gyok is not happening. It's also that they signed Christian Norgaard since we last sat down for PA too. So it's like the roof is not falling down. In fact, the ceiling looks very, very high. And yet you're here a little bit toned down. Why?
Because, albeit, I can't even talk. That's how mad I am. Holy shit. The ceiling might be high, but instead of fixing the broken door that we've needed to fix for 10 years, we replaced the chandelier. You know what I mean?
Really?
We've had this striker issue for so long. And sure, Erda maybe wanted Gyökeres and Arteta wanted Cesco. Or it's the opposite, whatever it is. It seems like we picked one, and it seems like it's advancing, and we have Gyökeres on his knees begging to come to our club. Yet what happens? We prioritize Nani first. Sure, the Norgaard deal, I understand, because Tottenham were in for him and we needed another midfielder. Get him done. The Kepa deal, could that have been done later in the window? Maybe. This Nani deal, did that have to be done right now?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not. So we're prioritizing the supplementary signings, which is causing unrest within the fan base. And that's not good. This guy, Nani Madueke, who is a good player. Let's be honest. He's a fine player.
Yeah.
He's cool. And if he's a backup for Saka, that's exactly what we needed. But the fans are already turning on him because mm-hmm. we're paying $52 million for a guy they paid $25 million for, who hasn't lit up the Premier League, who isn't as good as other players in the position who we could seemingly get for the same price. It's a mind-boggling situation. And the way Arsenal are going about their business is just confusing and frustrating fans. And it's been this way since the last window. The Rice window was good, but the window before that was confusing as well. It's just causing unrest within the fan base, and that's not a good thing to have.
Mm. There was, I believe, some murals outside of the Emirates, if I'm remembering correctly, that...
Yeah, that were defaced.
That were defaced with Arteta out.
Yeah, it's bad.
Arteta out.
That's bad.
What?
What do you mean Arteta out?
Yeah, that's bad. That's stupid.
At a Nani Madueke signing? Come on.
Look, he'll be a good player for us. And the defacing is just bad. Like, that's bad. But
what I'm confused about is, like, there seems to be a little bit of impatience from the fans,
yeah.
if I'm able to label it right.
Yeah.
Because it's not like you're not getting Gyökeres.
But it is, though. Until
but it's not.
But, okay, Nico Williams was pretty much here we go until it wasn't. What's stopping Gyökeres from going to somewhere else because the fee is matched by Liverpool, the fee is matched by Barcelona?
Obviously, if that happens, you're going to have every right to come on here and go scorched earth.
Yeah.
But there's been no indication that's going to happen.
Yeah, and there isn't a here we go, and his contract isn't signed, and he's not an Arsenal player right now, Julian. And that's the issue. It's the...
Like, it was only made clear that he wanted Arsenal on like Sunday, 5 days ago.
No, but we've been talking to him for months.
I know, but before
Verts is the biggest signing of the summer, and it took what, 5 days?
Yeah. No, it didn't.
It seemed like it did.
First, it was Bayern are not interested. Then it was Liverpool comes in, and then like a couple of weeks passed before it was official.
Yeah, but then there was not this big like fiasco. Like we signed fucking Zubimendi 7 times. Why? Why? There's a way Arsenal do business, and I understand it. It started with the Wenger era, and that's the way he did business. He wanted the best deal. We never signed big money players. And then the turns of the, you know, 2016, 17, 18 came. We got Declan Rice in 2021. I get it. That hasn't been our way. But the times of football have changed. And now we need to get our players done quickly, because if we don't, we don't know what can happen. And the fans are, like you said, impatient. And it just causes this disinterest within the club, this dissatisfaction with the club, who have been so good over the last couple of seasons. But at the same time, why are we not getting these deals done at a right manner? Why is it not our first priority to get the one thing that we've needed for the past three seasons done, yet we're signing a backup right winger instead?
So if Nani, so you're worried that the Gyök deal is taking too long?
Yeah.
It's 5 days since he expressed his interest in Arsenal.
But it's 5 days. But it's been 6 months since it's been linked.
Yes, it has been a story, but from the time where it has become clear that Arsenal are in for him and there is mutual interest from Gyökeres, it literally broke 5 days ago, Blake. And there has been no interest shown from the Uniteds, from the Barcas, from the Bayerns, from the Liverpools, from the anybodies. There's no reason that you should be this worried. And I think, if like for some reason, like, would you feel the same way about the Gyökeres deal if Nani was not here we go?
Probably not, no.
So why?
Because we're prioritizing the wrong things, Julian.
It's not about prioritizing. No,
but it is. You're not understanding what I'm saying, and I don't expect you to. You don't, because your transfer situation is like so different than ours, and I understand. But it's do or die here. It's not just la-di-da-di-da, you know, he'll come eventually. No, get him fucking in. Mm. It's now or never. We lost to the best team in the fucking world, and we need to be there. And the way we're doing business is not good enough. It's just not. You're happy. If you're happy with this club, just doing whatever, and, you know, he'll come in eventually, and we'll get Nani Madueke in first. We'll get the backup keeper in first. That's not good enough.
Do you not see it from a perspective that they are getting the Madueke deal over the line really quickly so they can shift focus towards the bigger fish?
But why is the bigger fish done first?
Because it's a bigger fish. It takes longer to reel in.
Yeah, not always. Not always in the case. Not if the fish wants you really bad. Not if the bait looks really fucking good and the fish is literally on his knees praying to the heavens, giving up the rest of his salary to come to the club. Get it done.
But Sporting is so hard to deal with.
Dumped his girlfriend too.
Dumped his girlfriend. He wants us so bad. I want him so bad. I'm on my knees for him, bro. I want him so bad.
So that's why, like, the Nani deal, just finish it up. Like, don't have to worry about that anymore. And now I'll focus on Gyökeres. And sure, in the meantime, since there's nobody else in there, you guys are in pole position to get him. He might as well be here we go. Let's be so real. Sure. Let's be so real. I think you're overreacting to this, Blake. I think you're way overreacting to it, because there is a 99.9% chance that Victor Gyökeres is going to be an Arsenal player. You need to realize that.
Okay.
It's essentially done.
Okay.
It's going to happen. And then, like, you're going to have Zubimendi, Norgaard, Madueke, Gyökeres before mid-July or before August. That's great. And then you have time to go and get another big fish. Like, I'm not, like,
I understand your point. It's not how I feel, and it's not how a lot of Arsenal fans feel.
I know. Like, but I think you could... I think you guys should be a little more thinking about it with a little bit more solace.
I suppose, but it's past trauma. If we signed a striker last season,
that's what I think this is.
And it didn't work out, then sure. But we haven't. We haven't gone out and had the windows that we needed to compete with the best teams and win the trophies that we've had to. That's why there's this impatience within the club. Because we haven't done what we needed to do in the window for the past two seasons. That's why I'm so impatient. That's why I'm not convinced he's here, because he's not here. Get it done, please.
And tomorrow, and get Rodrigo. And tomorrow we're gonna get the Gyök. Here we go. And then it's this. Nothing have changed.
What do you want from me? I don't understand why being reactionary is bad. Sure, I say dumb shit sometimes, but why is it terrible? We're reactionary. A goal goes in, we're excited. Our team loses, we're not excited. We're the opposite of that. Same thing.
Right.
Signing happens, I'm happy. This is not... Signing doesn't happen, I'm not happy. I'm not happy until signing happens. You know what's great? The build up to the goal. you know, a little ticky-tack, like you guys scored against Real Madrid. That's great. What if you don't finish it? What if it's an open net, you don't finish it? Right, so now, we've had an open net for like 5 days. Yes. Fucking slot it in. Stick it in.
Okay.
Finish the job.
Right. So are you calling yourselves a real club if you sign him tomorrow?
If we get Azeir Rodrigo alongside Gyökeres and the rest of the signings.
But is this Football Manager?
Why not, though?
No.
That's crazy. What if, like, Teta just gives a $350 million window? And then I'll shut up. And then I'll say, I'm sorry, and I was wrong, and I will never criticize the club again.
Okay.
But if we get Gyökeres and then one of Azeir Rodrigo, it's like, or no, Gyökeres and Eze, 9.5 out of 10 window. But because Rodrigo is available, any form of Gyökeres, Rodrigo, 12 out of 10.
What about just Gyökeres and Madueke? And Zubimendi, Norgaard, obviously. And Kepa.
8, 5, 9.
Okay.
Just because of what
we Kepa knew. Brings it up a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm like my guess.
Anyway. I think you're in for a really good window. I think you've already had a really good window.
I hope so.
I think like the impact of the Zubimendi deal is obviously not being talked about enough because that was practically here we go in January.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But that supplemented with Gyökeres probably. And I think Madueke is a solid player.
He's a solid player. That's going to be lost in translation.
And I still don't think he's going to be a starter. I think if he's
I think he's Saka
thought of as, yes, I think he's Saka backup. And Saka backup instead of like Sterling.
Yeah. It's just the Chelsea thing again too. That's annoying. Like there must be like some sort of money laundering or we did something wrong because we keep buying from
him. I know. You keep taking their sloppy seconds.
Yeah. But he's a good player still.
But as a bench player, I think it's a fine
move. The last thing I'll say is, what's frustrating me about this, or what will frustrate me about this, is if Rodrigo goes to another club for 50, 60, 70 million, I will be incensed.
50, 60? What do you think this is?
I've seen...
Rodrigo is not 50, 60.
I've seen 70. Okay, that is crazy. I've seen 70 flown about.
Rodrigo
whatever.
Is 120 plus.
Okay. Maybe. I haven't seen that, though. My point is, if he is for like even 80... If he goes somewhere else for 80 and we got Noni done and that's because, you know, and we couldn't sign him because we had Noni and we didn't want to spend the money or whatever, that's what's going to incense me.
I understand.
Because
that.
Why did we not fucking prioritize the best fucking winger available?
Yeah.
But anyway, only time will tell if that comes true.
Mandem FC is being torn apart at Chelsea, guys. That era is over.
Mm. What about you, though? How are you feeling about your transfer business?
Horrendous.
Really?
Yeah, I'm just numb to it. Like, I don't even want to go on an insane rant, but just the Mbeumo thing. I mean, like, you're mad at Gyökeres taking a week.
That's fair.
Like, we're going a month on Mbeumo.
See my smile?
Mbeumo's almost been here we go for a month. I'm not even sure if Mbeumo exists at this point.
Is he here we go?
No, he was like same level.
Oh, but I'm crazy for thinking that it might take long.
I know. I'm saying that if you think it's bad, look at us. Okay. Look at us. I'm not even sure if Mbeumo exists at this point. Maybe Mbeumo is the friends we made along the way.
Okay.
I'm
telling you, I heard Grolwood talk about it and I saw links that Dominic Calvert-Lewin was like, are you offered?
Yeah, did you find that?
Yeah, he like offered himself to you, but you don't.
But what's the source on that?
I don't know, man.
Fucking Jeff down the street.
I don't know. I would love Calvert-Lewin for United. That'd be awesome.
Would it be?
Speaking of mid strikers, did you see Mateta shaved his beard?
I did see that.
Mid striker
mustache.
Yeah, it was like a kind of
really
situation going on.
Hater Central.
Linked it's Calvert-Lewin? Funny.
No, but the headline is Manchester United are preparing to sign Dominic Calvert-Lewin, the final Asfinity stone.
It's just horrendous right now. Like, I knew it was bad after we didn't win the Europa League, obviously, but the window was always going to be sell to buy, and we're not selling.
Yeah,
we're not selling. Mm. Garnacho transfer listed, Anthony transfer listed, Rashford transfer listed, Sancho transfer listed, and none of these guys want to come back. Should be straight simple, but Rashford is the only one with any possibility right now of leaving. He's linked to Barcelona.
That'd be insane.
But if we keep any of those three, we're in shambles.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, stacked on top of the fact that
stacked on top of the fact that we're keeping guys like Mason Mount, like Luke Shaw, guys that...
I heard Amorim likes Mason Mount, though.
Oh, he's loved Mason Mount from the moment he stepped in the door, Amorim. Okay. I understand that, but Mount was... look at Mason Mount's tenure at Man United. Besides three good performances,
he gives
us nothing. Yeah. Nothing. He does not deserve to wear the shirt. Half of these guys don't, but it'd just be too tall of a task to sell as many players as we need to sell. So it's just like, oh my God. So in an ideal world, we sell Marcus Rashford and buy Mbeumo for 60, 65. I guess we have Cunha already, but we need to sign so many guys after that. And the fact that Mbeumo is taking a month, that doesn't put any confidence in me.
I've heard it's the fee.
So Sir Jim Ratcliffe is saying...
This is really funny.
That he doesn't want to be embarrassed United spending too much on a player. I'm sorry. I didn't know Brentford were asking for 90 million from Brian Mbeumo. I think 60 is a fair price. That's the same that we're spending on Cunha. I think 60 is a fair price for Brian Mbeumo, who was one of the best players in the Premier League for going on 2 years now.
Yeah.
3 years now. Sure. And he is just refusing. He's refusing to pay that while showing ineptitude through the guys that he brought in selling players needed to fund these transfers. And we are moving so slowly in perhaps our most important transfer window of the past decade. And as a United fan, oh my goodness, it's terrifying. Mm-hmm. Terrifying. A month ago, we had just signed Cunha, and then a day or two later, it was Mbeumo, here we go. I was like, wow, we are cooking. Wow. And what's happened since then? There's been no United transfer window update in a month. Meanwhile, Tottenham are absolutely cooking right now. Chelsea look better. Liverpool are feasting despite losing Trent. City are looking amazing. Arsenal are signing superstars. And we look miles off. We need to have a better transfer window than all of them to make ground. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make ground. And we're losing even more.
Yeah.
It's depressing. Even if you compare our windows to Forest's and Newcastle's, it's bad. It's not looking good.
Yeah.
Also, I found my source.
What's the
name? Well, it's United Stan, but it's Ben Jacobs.
Ben Jacobs. Okay, yeah. he's a reliable guy. Okay. But what's the date on it?
July 10th.
July 10th?
So, yeah.
What does it say?
It's Ndidi, too. So, it's with Ndidi, it's expected to be similar situation to Dominic Calvert-Lewin. That later in the window, there's an opportunity. It could be something that United look at. However, as with Calvert-Lewin, the wages are seen as big.
Yes.
For a free agent, by the way.
Bro, Ndidi to United? Are you serious right now?
I mean... You know better than me. Ben Jacobs apparently is a decent little source.
Ben Jacobs is reliable, but
it's good for us.
But that's just that, if we're in a panic on August 31st, then
you guys,
we sign all those guys. But hey, he's right. The wages for that quality of player is going to be too high. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. If it was 2021, Ndidi and Calvert-Lewin would be solid signings, but come on. Anyways, United are just a joke. Just a joke. In other news.
Again.
What?
Still. I'm just excited to hate watch again. I can't hate watch anyone in the Club World Cup.
Can you?
Not really.
City a bit.
City a bit. But other than that, I just love hate watching. Mm. So excited to do that again.
Right. But only if there's success on your team.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Then it's not fun.
It's not fun.
Exactly. Yeah.
You get me.
I get you, bro.
Rashford targeted by Barcelona.
That's insane.
It's a weird one.
If Rashford goes
to Barcelona. I feel like he'd cook there.
No.
I feel like he'd actually cook there. As a backup, he would cook.
He's like a Ferran Torres competition.
Yeah, I think Barcelona regress if Rashford joins them.
I don't know.
Because it's also everything that goes into signing Marcus Rashford. Not just the things on the pitch, but the things off the pitch, too.
True.
I do see him really working well in a Flick system.
I agree.
I do see a path to success, but how old is he now? Like
getting up there.
2028, yeah. I believe. His best days are clearly behind him. You know?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
But if Lewandowski can do well there, then so can Rashford. Fuck it. And not only can he play on the left.
Wow. You just compare Lewandowski to Rashford.
I'm saying, like, Unk still got it. You know?
Lewandowski is the best striker of this generation.
He's like 35. I'm saying, like, we didn't expect this level of production from him in this age, but under Flick's system, it's doing very, very well. And in that position, both the left wing and a striker, I feel like Rashford could do a job.
I agree.
In providing depth to this Barcelona team.
I agree. Just didn't like the Lewandowski comparison. That's it. That's all.
Unk still got it.
Unk never lost it.
Unk never lost it.
He still got it.
You saw we fired, Poland fired their coach?
Again?
Did they?
They did. There was like, remember when you said that he's not coming back if the coach is still there?
No.
Yeah.
They fired him.
Good. Good move.
Going from one of my teams to the other, Alvaro Carreras to Madrid is here we go, lads.
Yeah. Mm. And that'll be big.
United make some money off of that, right? Do they have like a sign on?
I believe so.
Oh, okay. That's a
good point, actually. I should look into that. Mm. I know we had a buyback clause on him.
They didn't activate that.
Interest us,
I think they make $5 million off of that.
Something like that, right? I think you do.
A special shout out to Erik ten Hag. In fall 2023, we had a left back crisis, and he could have gone to Alvaro Carreras in our youth academy at the time. Instead, he signed Sergio Reguilón. Shout out.
One hag, two hag.
He's and played Sofyan Amrabat there.
Oh, Amrabat. What a signing that was.
He was solid for a little bit.
What?
He was okay.
Okay.
Where is he now? I wonder.
He's definitely in Egypt. He's at Wydad Casablanca.
I knew it. He's in Egypt, right?
Yes. No, in
Morocco.
Yeah, Morocco. Hmm. Yeah.
Is that the same Sofyan Amrabat?
Yeah.
Okay. Because there's multiple Sofyan Amrabats.
Let me check.
Anyways, Carreras to Madrid is here we go. Lovely move.
Oh, he's at Fenerbahce.
It's a great move. Is he?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he's at Fenerbahce.
Told you.
There's a different Amrabat.
I told you, man.
And he's bald too? That's weird.
No, because there's the Sofyan Amrabat that did the VAR shit at the World Cup. I remember that.
Yeah, it's Nordin Amrabat at Wydad Casablanca. And he's bald too.
See?
So I thought it was Sofyan.
See? Mm. Anyways, Carreras to Madrid is here we go. I like the move for him. I think it's going to be great from a Madrid standpoint. From a Benfica standpoint, I've been expecting this for a while. I'm just glad he stayed on for the Club World Cup and gave a little farewell. I think he's going to do well there. Him and Fran Garcia are going to be good competition for each other. Obviously Spanish. It makes sense there. Used to be a Atletico boy.
Really?
So this is a...
Carreras?
Maybe a controversial move to some, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the Atletico to Real Madrid moves have not been... Like, happens a lot.
I think he
It does.
Like, Courtois was Atletico as well.
He also used to be in the Madrid academy. Maybe he wasn't. Hold on. I may be spewing fake news.
He kind of seems like
maybe
he wasn't.
I believe... No, because there is a picture of him with Raul Asensio in the Madrid academy in 2018.
Okay.
That's a thing. And then was it he went to Atletico and then United or just Real Madrid for United? Something like that. But he's meant for this. I'm going to say that. And Benfica are a selling club this summer like we are every summer, so I'm not opposed to it. There's also Orkan Kökçü going to Beşiktaş. Yeah. Usually I'd be a little bit pissed off at it, but Kökçü's had like a little bit of an attitude problem towards Bruno Lage. So like I'm not mad at him going. The Benfica window always goes... Our best players leave more often than not, and we're signing like a bunch of randoms who will be those best players in a couple of years.
Are you surprised you didn't get a bigger move?
Kökçü?
Yeah. Like, Beşiktaş is a big club, obviously, but it's not in the top five leagues.
Yeah.
It's also Turkish.
Yeah, that probably helps. Turkish, but are you surprised he didn't want...
for him? I think the attitude problems carried a lot, like kind of killed his value in the past couple months, honestly. He's also not particularly young, if memory served correctly. I think this is a good move for him. I think he'll do well at Beşiktaş. He had a solid tenure on the pitch at Benfica. It was just those intangibles that kind of put me off. Still underrated.
You'll stand by that, eh?
Yeah.
24. I'll stand by
that. 24? Oh, shit. Well, fuck. Never mind then. We're taking it to Saudi, guys.
Oh,
game is gone.
God. It's so frustrating. It is so frustrating. The top goal scorer of the Serie A has ambitions and he has the quality to hit a top club this summer. He had the quality to hit a top club this summer and just goes to Saudi.
And it's not even one of the known Saudi teams.
Yeah.
It was where Aubameyang was just at.
He's literally replacing Aubameyang.
Al-Qasidiyya?
Yeah.
Qasidiyya. Some, and it's just like, wow, great young player. Yeah. We're never going to hear about you ever again.
I know.
Nice.
Is he that young?
Hopefully he still Hopefully he still gets called up for the Italian national team.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if like you're 26. Italian, you're pissed at this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I don't know. Money talks.
Does that say a lot about City?
It does. I understand.
Like, what does that say about City? Your top goal scorer just leaves to Saudi.
Money. John Durant did the same thing. John Durant did the same thing.
And yeah, look what happened to him.
Yeah.
And now he's back.
Oh, is he? Where is
Fenerbahce?
He? Fenerbahce, not Besiktas.
With Asensio.
Yo, Turkish league is looking good.
It's cooking.
Bro, remember Turkish league with like Wesley Snyder, dude.
Yes, bro.
And Galatasaray.
Yeah. Oh my God.
But no, there's actually this competition in the Turkish league now.
Should we tune in?
Should we?
Should we tune in, low key?
Perhaps. Perhaps.
We're not going to. I know Osimhen re-signed with Galatasaray.
Yeah.
It's not finalized yet. They're trying to secure the 75 million payment. They have to go through banks and everything. Like, I wouldn't be that confident in Galatasaray, like having 75 million to splash on a player like Victor Osimhen. But it's looking ever likely.
Well, we're gonna have to start talking about this guy's career, man.
What a weird one, eh?
Yeah,
Osimhen.
Yeah,
yeah.
Very weird, and I'd say disappointing too.
Yeah, I mean,
2 years ago we're talking about this guy as the next best striker, where all the top clubs should position themselves to get him.
Moments at Napoli.
Yeah, he had great moments at Napoli. He was Napoli's best player with Kvaratskhelia in their Scudetto-winning season.
You know who? You know what else we need to talk about?
Mm.
Sunderland.
Yeah, they had a good window.
They're cooking.
Sunderland.
They're cooking. They can stay out this season, boys.
My boy.
Your boy's there.
Simon Adingra to Sunderland for 27.8 million euros.
That's what I'm saying. Your boy's at Sunderland now.
Yeah, boy's going to Sunderland.
How much?
28 million euros.
That's good.
I would have liked Arsenal to pay that for him.
Yeah. Saw a little player, and they are absolutely, like, they've spent close to 100 million this window already.
It sucks when they go back down.
They've signed, who else have they signed? They signed Noah Sadiki from Union Saint-Gilloise. They've signed Habib Diarra from Strasbourg. You can tell us about him. Enzo Fay, they secured from Roma.
Do you know all these people?
That's a baller, by the way. Enzo Fay, baller. Okay. And they also have a French coach, Régis Lebris.
Oh, so he's going to be such a Sunderland
fan. I might be a Sunderland fan this season, you know.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it might happen.
Sunderland, Sundowns.
Oh, my God, they have Timothée Pembélé. I'm a Sunderland fan. Yeah. I'm a fan.
Who the fuck?
PSG Academy player. Yeah.
I feel like I've heard that name before.
Timothée Pembélé.
Yeah. But like I said, Sundowns, Sunderland, close enough, right?
You know? Yeah. I like that.
I'll buy that kit.
Pembélé kit. I like that.
No, not that kid. The Sundowns kid.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
he's enamored. He is so locked in.
He's gone.
He's so locked in.
All right, other news, boys, before we wrap up the episode, is Jordan Henderson coming back to the Premier League.
Where did you say he was going again?
Brentford.
To replace Norgaard.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I see a lot of Brits going like, I love...
They have... Chemzin Talbi from Club Bruges.
Yes.
This is the guy that I was hyping up when Club Bruges were in the round of 16 against Aston Villa. I'm a Sunderland fan this season.
Jordan Henderson to Brentford, lads. This is the most nothing burger move ever.
Yeah. So wait, so he went to, what was his, he went to Al Ittifaq?
He went to Al Ittifaq, then he went to Ajax.
He went to Ajax. Yeah.
And then to Brentford, I believe.
Brentford. Because then he fell out of Ajax because everyone hated
him. Yeah, everybody hated him at Ajax. Was there another club in there? Let me see. Jordan Henderson. Yeah, he was still at Ajax going to Brentford.
Can't wait for him to go to like...
No, you're retired.
LA Galaxy in a year.
I'm surprised he hasn't already.
I know.
He is 35.
Oh, he's got a...
Last run in the Prem.
Nah, he's got some time.
Yeah.
Speaking of LA Galaxy, North America, Canada, Tayshaun Buchanan.
What a stretch. Oh my God, dude.
Linked with a move to Sassuolo for $8 million. Seems like his time at Inter
I hate the entire Canadian team right now. So
okay. So we're just moving on. Speaking of LA Galaxy, LA, North America, U.S., Malik Tillman is going to Leverkusen. Okay.
Well, give me one more.
Leon's not relegated.
Yeah. I did see that.
Yeah.
Crystal Palace don't get Champions League. I mean, Europa League.
Galaxy. You can link U.S. with Lyon because their owner used to be, or they left them. Their owner was U.S.
Did you guys see that, by the way? What? Crystal Palace don't get.
Yeah, Crystal Palace is in the Conference League.
Yeah, which I kind of.
Shame. That's a damn shame.
Which, what was the reason behind that? What was the
ownership rules?
Yeah, for John Texter again, man. It's the same guy. It's the same guy.
That damn cowboy.
Yeah.
And I got nothing else here, lads.
That you do. You have one more thing in there.
Football news. Go on.
Women's football.
Ah, yes. The Whitby native.
Yes.
Olivia Smith.
Yes.
Olivia Smith. Yes. The Canadian, the record breaker, going from Liverpool to Arsenal.
Yeah.
For a record, £1 million. Shout out.
Shout out.
Whitby. Stand up.
Whitby native, you know.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Huge.
See, all the papers just have her listed as a Toronto native.
Yeah.
Is that disrespectful?
It is, you? Yeah. See, like, I want to be the biggest product out of Whitby, so I got some work to do here, but we're trying our best. Got you.
No, yeah. We're on the way. We're on the way.
Yeah,
for sure.
Get on the pod.
Why not?
I could try.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm from Whitby. You are too. Let's chat.
Anyways, that'll do with everything in the football world, lads. We are at an hour 26. That's not terrible.
Oh, beauty.
Yep. But it's a flown by. I think this has been a really solid episode, boys.
Sign him, please.
Oh, you're still in the Yorkshire train. I love how giddy you get about it. It's so funny.
I want him so bad.
All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, this has been yet another episode of the Six Share Box podcast. Bit of an odd one, but a really enjoyable one, I feel.
Yeah, it was cool.
40 minutes talking about Mbappe and then the rest.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
It's been great, though, lads. Once again, if you are listening on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, do all the YouTube things. Hit that little notification bell to never miss another episode. If you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast, give us a little 5-star rating and let us know if you're worried about Arsenal's transfer window. If you are, I think you're a little bit crazy, but I digress. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, this has been episode 111 of the Six Share Box podcast, being myself, Blake, and Antoine, and we will see you all very soon. Goodbye.
We out. See ya.
See ya.